Scripture this morning is 1 Corinthians 13. It's one that is probably familiar to you all. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I could understand all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, oh, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now, our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grow up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. And three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. This is perhaps one of my most favorite Bible passages. If I could only have a few, not the whole Bible, but just a few passages, this is one that I would want to have. And the reason is because it's a litmus test for where I'm at in my transformation to love journey, and the same for each of you. We know that God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit share the same qualities. And so God is love, which means that Christ is love, which means the Holy Spirit is love. And so if we are in Christ and the Holy Spirit is indwelling us, that means that we are in love and indwelled by love. We are completely surrounded in every dimension by love. We are actually vessels of God's love, designed to carry that love into the world. Now, God uses us, his people, to spread his love throughout the world. It is the divine purpose of the church. It is the goal of our instruction, as written in 1 Timothy 1:5. The purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, which speaks to our motivation, a clear conscience that refers to our forgiveness, and genuine faith, really believing. And so when we look at the passage like 1 Corinthians 13, we can't help but notice the significance of love as the reason for our doing, what motivates us. And it doesn't matter what your gift is. If it isn't used from a place of love when you exercise that gift, it is useless and worthless for the kingdom of God. Now, the easiest way I could think to illustrate this was the gift of music. Suppose God has gifted you with the ability to make music, but you choose to produce songs that the world would love to hear, and you pursue the world's pursuit of fame and riches with your music. From God's perspective, You are just making noise. Empty, meaningless noise. The world may celebrate your music, you may gain fame and wealth, but God sees the gift he gave you being wasted on things that don't last. Another example would be if God had gifted you with language and you could write beautiful stories that readers would enjoy. But you seek wealth from your books, and so you write the kinds of things the world wants to read. And you use your gift for personal gain and fame. The world may celebrate you, but God sees the potential that he has given you wasted on things that perish. Now, Paul is writing these words to the church at Corinth. He's writing to the church, to Christians. And the gifts that he mentions are gifts that are found in the body of Christ. To speak all languages of man and angels, the gift of prophecy, understanding all God's secret plans, possessing all knowledge, faith that could move mountains, and radical generosity, giving everything. And that's sobering. We expect the people who don't know Christ to live selfishly because they have no other way to live. They have no other way. But Christians, we have a better way. And Paul is writing to the church about what motivates them. See, the church should know better because the church should know that our goal for our instruction is love. Here's another example. Suppose two churches want to grow, and they both start a great campaign to increase their attendance. Church A is motivated because they are under financial pressure, and they want to increase the number of people who add to the offering plate. Even their growth plan, they strategically target the wealthy neighborhoods. Church B, also wanting to grow, are excited because of the loving message of the gospel. And they desire that all in their community should know about God's love and God's grace. They trust that God will take care of them as they seek to do his will. And they just want to share the gospel with any ears that will listen. Now, from the outside, it may be hard to tell which church's motivation is which. But from God's perspective, nothing is hidden. And God sees the heart, and it is the matter of the heart that concerns him. Church growth is a good thing, but the reason we pursue it must be love. Now, Jesus made it super simple for us. Two things: love God, love people. There's no qualifier on that. It's all people. And everything we do must be driven by love. Anything we do that is not based in love is just fruitless and meaningless and worthless in God's eyes. So am I saying that we shouldn't pursue the matters of the world with the gifts that God has given us, with our talents and our abilities? Yes, because that's what the scripture is saying. Love must be our motivation and our strength. And pursuing love might lead us into the realm of the world because that's where the lost are. But we shouldn't seek the realm of the world for fame and wealth. We should seek God first and let God direct our ambition and our path. Love must be our motivation, and it will be our strength. So whether we make music, whether we write stories, or teach children, or farm the land, or raise cattle, or work in an office, or own our own business, or preach to the masses, Love must be the driving force in everything that we do. And when we look at our culture today, that is primarily what is missing. People have stopped loving each other. They love their families. But beyond that, the hearts of the people have grown cold, which Jesus said it would in Matthew 24:12. People have stopped caring about each other, and everyone is concerned only for themselves. But as Christians, we don't have the luxury of being selfish. And I use that with quotation marks. We don't have the world's privilege to care only about ourselves, because our lives have been mandated by God to serve others with love. Now, that middle portion of 1 Corinthians 13 that tells us all the things that love is, that's where the litmus paper for us is. Are we love, or are we something else? What comes out of us when we are squeezed? If you squeeze an apple, you'll get apple juice. If you squeeze an orange, you will get orange juice. If you squeeze a Christian, you should get the juice that comes from the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What comes out of you when you get squeezed? When things don't go your way? When the pressure is on? Are we patient and kind? Are we humble and selfless? Do we forgive and forget? Are we honest even when it works against us? That's what this passage means. Love does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. It means you don't bend the narrative to your own advantage, but you just tell the truth. So if you're at fault, you just own it. Do we maintain our hope and our faith in all circumstances? What are we carrying with us into every situation and every decision? Is it love, or is it fear? See, we have been given the most amazing privilege on this earth, to carry God's love. The Apostle John, who refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved, understood this. He understood that it was because Christ loved him that he could be loved. And he wrote in his first letter, 1 John chapter 4, "To you whom I love, I say, let us go on loving one another, for love comes from God. Every man who truly loves is God's child and has some knowledge of him. But the man who does not love cannot know God at all, for God is love." And a few verses later, he continues, "We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them." That's a remarkable verse. All who live in love live in God, and God, the creator of the universe, lives in them. And there's a beautiful thing about living this way, because your life has a greater purpose. It isn't about you, it's about them. And your life gains eternal value in the kingdom of God. Paul ends this chapter by saying, three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. It's the same things Timothy said. The purpose of our instruction is love, to have genuine faith, to have a clear conscience, which is our hope, the hope of our salvation, and to have a pure heart, which is love. And the greatest of these is love. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need to live a loving, godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself, by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.